From the brothers who brought you Black Dynamite comes a brand new movie that's sure out of sight. We've been gone for a while, but now we're back with a Western adventure.
All out.
The outlaw, Johnny Black. It's a rootin', tootin', six-gun shootin', romance and praise dance, cliff jumping, horse punching, card dealing, land stealing, unruly and truly groovy kind of movie.
Put me down!
He made Billy a key, took the eye from One-Eyed Jack. He's a high plains drift. Ain't nobody swift than the outlaw, Johnny Black. As faith-based Western black exploitation, kung fu action, romantic comedy dramas go, it's right up there with the rest of them.
All right, I'm Jay, back again for another one. And tonight I have with me,
Captain Key.
What's up, er?
Not much, man. Just, hey, maintaining.
Right on. All right.
Surviving this spare of the air week.
It's always
man,
something.
I was actually feeling it this week, bro. I mean, it never really happened to me before. Before, sometimes you might see the smoke.
Right.
You know, I remember seeing it and stuff, but not really feeling affected by it. But this week, I felt some of that, man. So I started closing my windows when I was driving, and I was fine. I was like, okay, yeah.
The schools are shutting down, like sports.
Yeah, man.
So all week has been this, you know, reports on the status of the air. Depending on your job and what you do, you got to keep moving regardless, like calling out or closing up early or whatever, or being indoors. That's a luxury because there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to get out of the situation.
I agree.
Yeah.
So
tonight we're going to talk about the outlaw Johnny Black. This was a long time coming. I heard about it a while back, not too long after Black Dynamite had came out, and I saw like an interview with Michael Jai White. He was talking about other movies he wanted to do eventually and get around to, and he mentioned the Western, and so he was talking about it so long ago that I almost forgot it was coming out. So when it finally came out, I was surprised because I didn't even know. Matter of fact, I found out it was coming out on accident. That's why I hit you guys up. I was like, hey, man.
I'm glad you did. I'm about to go
see this movie because it's just like it came out of nowhere. And it just kind of show you today, too, like with music and also with movies and stuff like that. Like, even though we have so much access to so much stuff and this YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all this other kind of stuff going on, you still don't really get stuff promoted. Like that whole thing of promotion and getting to know that something's going to be out and available. And it's just crazy to me because there's so much stuff out there, I'm sure, that we want to see and purchase and be a part of. We're just out of the loop and we find out like a week later or a year later or never find out. We kind of forget because there's so much stuff going on that the next thing you know, it's just out of sight, out of mind. So I'm kind of glad this kind of worked out where I'm like, oh, okay. And this is like in a limited release. So I had to drive, you know, about an hour out to go actually see it because it wasn't playing locally, even though locally, I think that's where the audience would probably be for it. So it's funny how that whole thing with the economics of stuff and privilege of stuff and, you know, it plays in the success of stuff because if people don't support it, it's allegedly people don't want it. And that might not be true. You could just be throwing the baseball to a catcher, but if you're throwing it to the back of his head, he won't see it coming. He's a good catcher.
Yeah. I agree with you. Michael Jai White, he's awesome. I definitely want us to interview him one day. I mean, he's such a resilient person. I mean, it's hard to believe. It blows my mind. I think my first exposure to him was him playing Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
He did that. Then he was Spawn.
Yep.
And then when Spawn bombed, we thought, oh, we ain't going to see him again. Well, maybe I was thinking that.
Well, Spawn did good.
I thought he did good.
I mean, when it came out.
But for whatever reason, you know, they didn't make a sequel to it, so I don't know, but
yeah, it didn't age well, so it was one of those kind of ones that was before its time. But sometimes those movies and stuff that be before their time, you know, it's almost like, you know how stuff like back in the day, it might have been like that fast cut stuff, like the MTV video stuff, and it's like cutting edge at the time, but you go back and watch it, you'd be like, who sat and watched this stuff? And then you have directors like Michael Bay that'll keep that tradition, but you notice everybody else stopped doing it. Ridley Scott had stopped doing that. All those people who was kind of known for those quick cuts, they had to back off of it. So sometimes the time of something happening and the style will outdate something and make you look differently on it. But in the moment, it made sense.
Yeah, I can see that. And but he always kept bouncing back.
Yeah.
He would do all these indie films. And every time I saw him, I enjoyed him. And then he's on a hit series on BET Plus, Family Business, with Ernie Hudson, another brother who, you know, from the Ghostbusters, who was the least popular, who's now become the strongest surviving member of that. Now he's popping up everywhere, looking great, doing his thing. Family Business is a great series, but no, I digress. What I was going to say in regards to what you were saying is the reason why I say I love to talk to him, because I wonder, you know, a lot of times when you're an artist, and you know that we're artists, you get so focused on, you know, creating and putting it out there that you may not want anything to do with the promotion part, or you might be like, okay, well, someone else can do that part. I did my part. So because I'm like, well, had this been, you know, advertised as from the producers of Black Dynamite, you know, and if you are using the Instagram and, you know, the free social media that you have to your means, you know, I think more people would have went to see it, but I don't know what happened. I'm just speculating. But, you know, I wonder if he just trusted people to do that and they didn't do it, or they just weren't, they didn't know what to do in that regard. I mean, because Black Dynamite, I saw that on video. If that went to the theater, I missed it when it came.
That's all in the theater.
Okay, see? Mm-hmm. And that would have been great to see in the theater. So so thank you for letting us know about this. I had no idea about this, but when I saw it, I was like, yeah. I think to myself, all he really had to do was do a few commercials talking about from the producers of Black Dynamite.
That's how they advertised it in the trailer.
From the brothers who brought you Black Dynamite comes a brand new movie that's show out of sight.
Right.
But then also money. Also, you know, if you're not part of the studio, that's when you kind of see how powerful things are. Like, you know, even with the music industry, it's kind of like, oh, people don't need music industry anymore. But when you see how, if you're trying to do it on your own or you're trying to get the word out, it's hard compared to, like, say, Sony's doing something. They already got the platforms. They already got the audience there. And they can
the infrastructure.
They can just push it to the point where it's almost nauseating, you know. And so that's when you start seeing the power of those situations, even though it's more in our hands as artists now, but they're still gatekeepers regardless. And times like this, we see the true strength of those things.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I definitely do feel that if this film was leaned on with more social media, that there would have been more people. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be sold out, but there would have been more people. I agree with you. I think a lot of people wanted to see this, but didn't know about it.
And like I said too, I don't think that the location that was at was necessarily where the audience would be for it.
Yes.
Like if that was playing in Vallejo and people were going to go see something else and they looked up and like, wait, huh? What do you mean Outlaw Johnny Black? What is that? You know, they might just be like, I'm gonna go check that out. Versus somewhere else where somebody will see that and be like, oh, and don't even look twice at it.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for those places that did decide to
show it.
Which I think was like Regal Cinema. I think he might have had a deal with that. And maybe he didn't have money to do a deal with AMC and Regal and, you know, or it might be a slow rollout. Who knows?
It's America, man. It's all about money. Yeah. Money, money, money. You're right. You're right. So.
Oh, so the synopsis for the film is, so hell-bent on revenge, avenging the death of his father, Johnny Black vows to gun down Brett Clayton and becomes a wanted man in the process, while posing as a preacher in a small mining town that has been taken over by notorious land baron. That sums up the movie. Hearing that, you can tell it's like one of those typical stories, like the, you know, unknown man with backgrounds you know not of comes into the town posing as a sheriff, like in Banshee, or a preacher in this situation. And we saw shows where he had like a fake preacher that was dealing a different kind of justice of the Lord upon the people. So it's definitely a premise that we've seen before, but having it being from a Black perspective, not only the writing of somebody Black, but then also the direction of somebody Black, I think that always lend to a different take on even a story that might be seen before.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really enjoyed the film. It was just fun.
So what were your thoughts?
It was great. It was just, you know, when you watch a cowboy film, especially when it has Black actors in it or Black characters, sometimes I might get a little sensitive because because I want to see how you're going to portray them. And, you know, and I want to see if there's going to be all this blatant racism and am I going to get angry? I didn't get that with this film. Now, there was a scene that, you know, I was upset with. I mean, but it was good to see Glenn Turman playing his father. I mean, you definitely see the racism in this film, but on some levels it felt a little bit, just a little bit muted. And
what do you mean? So what part hit you like that?
Oh, the bad guy, what's his name?
Brett Clayton.
Brett Clayton, when he kept talking about how he kept saying "Negra," yeah. I noticed that. And okay, so that to me, that was muting it a little bit. I mean, but we knew what the intent was when he was saying it, yeah. About, you know, this Negra out shooting me, you know, being a great shooter, you know, he's, and making up excuses on why his father was such a good shot. Like, there's just no way a black man could be can do something that a white man can't do with a gun.
Yeah, I thought that was very powerful. And to be honest, I don't know. He could have, I guess, used either word. I personally am glad that he didn't, because I didn't want to sit in the theater and hear that.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, but I think it was powerful, the fact that it kind of showed him, even though he thinks he's better than, you know, he's also insecure because he knew that he wasn't. And he wouldn't let that go. Like, that was just too much, just to know that he existed. And then it was also co-signed by one of his cronies saying, like, you know, like,
he's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. He can even take it as, like, he's good. It's almost kind of like, it almost, it seemed like he would have went further and just killed him, but he didn't want to kill him because he wanted to prove himself to him. So he almost probably left him alive just because he was so insecure that he felt that he had to prove it to that black guy that he felt that, you know, in his head, he's superior to, but in his heart, he knows he's inferior to. And he just couldn't let that go.
Yeah. So Michael Jai White did a great job in the sense that we're seeing that scene and, you know, my blood didn't boil the way it usually would. I mean, I wasn't happy, but I knew that was the story arc and that was going somewhere. Yeah. And then when it got there, I mean, and then what happened with Johnny Black's character and his arc and his self-reflection about why he wanted revenge and if that was going to be something beneficial or harmful in his life, I didn't see any of that arc coming. So I really enjoyed all that. And he went from wanting to avenge his father and not being anything like his father because of his anger and revenge, you know, and his resentment, to becoming more like his father without even realizing it in a natural, organic way.
Right.
And I enjoyed that. I thought that was really, really cool. So yeah, this was like the first like Black Western film where I didn't feel like the racism just overshadowed almost everything. I mean, it was part of it, but there was other things going on, funny things, and just, you know, and even things about religion. You know, I mean, there was commentaries, there was, you know, criticism a little bit everywhere. I mean, it was a very clever story, and overall, it did what it was supposed to.
Yeah, it definitely did a fine line kind of thing with the racism, because it could have, you know, leaned all the way into that. Sometimes when it's not written by us, then that's like the main thing that's touched on almost ad nauseum, and not with any kind of introspection of or a take from a different side. And then sometimes we're guilty of the same thing, that's the only story we have, and it's nothing else about the person. It's a racist situation, and sometimes you don't want to sit and watch that either, because it's just about that, and you know the person's more than just their race. And so it takes somebody that's insightful to play that line where you're acknowledging it because it's true, but that's also not all you are.
Exactly. You
know? Sometimes movies and stuff turn into that, unfortunately. And even with good intentions, sometimes it was bad intentions, but even sometimes with good intentions, it could just be the, you know, the race movie or the race show. And you know, nothing else about that person. They just being treated badly because of, you know, the color of their skin.
Right. I felt like Johnny Black started off as an anti-hero who became a hero by the end of the film. And I don't usually see that. Usually anti-hero just is still the anti-hero. When I think of the Riddick movies, Vin Diesel, Riddick he's still an anti-hero. I don't see his arc changing that much, you know, but we'll see. I mean, but that last film, the way it left it, we'll see what happens when they come back to it. But usually with anti-heroes, they just stay that way and you just kind of like them, like, oh, that's my anti-hero. But I felt like, and not that Johnny Black was advertising that he was an anti-hero. I mean, we knew he had, you know, we knew what he wanted to do. But when he met all these different people, you know, he eventually allowed them to influence him and change his life. And I thought that was cool.
Right. So. And the thing is like, even though he was wanted, like, what was he wanted for? And because like, do we even know that he's even really necessarily a bad guy? Because even the situation that he got blamed for, you know, a white guy did it and it got pinned on him. So even the thing where, you know, like the killing of the quote unquote killing, Right.
Because I'm like, was this a blooper? When he shot the dude's head and then the guy died and they arrested him?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. I was confused, like, but then they addressed it. He's like, I shot his head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he did shoot his head.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, the one time that we saw that he's getting blamed for murder, like I said, he didn't even do it.
You're right. So but he was showing the ridiculousness of the law and the biasness of it.
Exactly.
And he could have been, I mean, it was silly yet serious at the same time.
Yeah.
And like you said, that's a good balance. He right there.
Yeah, yeah. So it definitely touched on a whole bunch of stuff, and it did have some funny stuff. And it was funny because it played differently for sure than Black Dynamite. Like Black Dynamite, it leaned in hard the whole time. Everything was almost like a joke, even though it wasn't supposed to be a joke, right? Uh-huh. And so this one, it played like a regular Western. And then they'll say something that was sideways, and you're like, oh yeah, this is kind of a comedy. And then you're laughing, and you see all these, you know, bright characters, and they're just kind of cutting up and stuff, and they're kind of mustache twirling, and then they'll say something serious, and you're like, oh, this is not joking again. And so it was a lot of that. It was a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe he directed this, I think.
Yeah, he directed it. Yeah.
And he did a great job because I'm not used to seeing that type of balance with that type of subject matter. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. And then it was interesting because even though he was impersonating somebody else, mm-hmm. he could have took advantage of that fiance, and he didn't.
Yeah, but it shows he has morals. And that's the thing. We, like I said, he got the title of outlaw because of somebody else, but we don't know. Now, yeah, he probably shady, you know, but I'm just saying, it's just interesting that unlike other kind of situations, we get a chance to kind of unpack and see him for himself by his actions. You know what I mean? Like we were told he was a bad guy, but we saw that he was an earnest man, you know?
Yes.
He was a man of morals, you know?
Yeah. Now, what I thought was similar to, for a split moment, he reminded me of Lawrence Fishburne as Bumpy Johnson in Hoodlum. Mm. When he's like, you know, God and me don't have a relationship right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He said that, but then when he had to do that sermon, mm-hmm. he started remembering what his father said.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. And even the real preacher was like, looking like.
Yeah.
And that was written great. That was, I mean. So here we go again. I mean, he's opening up and he's starting to think about things. He's thinking about his father and it all just starts coming back. And then you can't think about what your father taught and say those words without them affecting you.
That's true. And it also touches on something that we don't really talk about, but it's almost like how the relationship with men and religion, you know, as a boy, you're pulled to go. You know, you have to go because your mama takes you, your granny takes you, auntie, whatever.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you get older as a man, you just kind of, your relationship is interesting. You know, I think that's the nicest way to say it. It could be interesting. So to have it kind of touch on that, and then for him to kind of find his own way there. He didn't get drug into it. Like you said, he kind of fell into it with the words, and the words started making sense. It's almost kind of like things you might hear as a child and you don't understand, they go over your head. And once you hear them again as an adult, it's a whole different meaning because you have now life and experience to add to that, to make, you know, to make it all add up. And even the way he did it to where, and I saw this done before, but you know, how somebody's trying to remember something. But I thought it was powerful that you could hear his dad saying the words. And you know how sometimes in movies, they'll do it in the beginning so you can understand, like, okay, we'll give you the double of the him talking and then what he's hearing out loud for one part, and then the rest of it, they'll just talk. This one, it followed through the whole way. And I thought that was really nice and different for him to do it that way. Because I thought it was just kind of, it's almost like his dad was walking with him along that journey of...
Yeah.
I'm going to take you here. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I came over myself. No, his dad kind of, in a way, held his hand and walked him into the truth.
I agree.
Which is very beautiful.
It was. It really was. Because it surprised him. Because he had no idea that that was going to happen to him until it did.
Yeah, he was looking all shocked and like,
and he,
I can't I can't believe I'm remembering this. And then he turned into, I can't believe I'm believing this.
Exactly.
You know, and he worked himself out of his own situation in a way. You know, and it's just like that applies to me, you know, like, but the part that I think is a good lesson, you know, that I think in a way, and it's probably on purpose, But I thought it was neat how, even though he understood how revenge and hatred for somebody else can hurt you, like it's like you walking with the coal. It's like you burning yourself too. You hold on to this fire, but you're getting burnt. Like, it was great that he had an understanding of it, but still he knew the dude had to die at the end too. He still, even if we're forgiving him, that dude still had to die.
And he killed him, or did he just shoot the gun out of his hand and they arrested him? I can't remember.
He shot him because he couldn't let him live, because he wouldn't give up.
You know, I need to watch it again, because he shot him once or twice, but he was shooting stuff out of him, I think, right?
Yeah, because he shot him in the legs and he kind of broke him down, but he ended up killing him. He had a change of heart, but he still had to do what he had to do. And I think that's a good lesson, that sometimes we get to be like the, you know, very forgiving folks. Folks might feel like they're let off the hook because of the forgiveness. And it's like, no, you still did the deed and you still got to pay. So you're not off the hook because of forgiveness necessarily.
Well, he gave him one more, but he was testing him, because he showed him the Bible the same way his daddy did.
Yeah.
He thought you're just going to kill him like you did his daddy. But no, this brother, no, he's ready for you. Yeah. He's giving you one last shot, one last opportunity to do the right thing.
And even when
he did that, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it was a lot of, you know, switch ups that was nicely done. And not too telegraphed. Yeah, so it was just like, but like I said, this movie has so much stuff going on. So you had the preacher that he ran into.
Which is a good job, good actor.
Which is hilarious. The actor, his name is Byron Mims, and he also co-wrote it.
Oh, okay.
He played Reverend Percy. Yeah. So he was, you know, from Black Dynamite. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to have him on there. And then the whole thing where they got ambushed by the Indians and he got taken by the tribe and all that. I didn't see that coming either. I thought he was going to be done. And instead, he got put into a marriage and
he had to escape. Dude, that was creepy. That was creepy.
So it caught me off guard. I had to do a take back. Like, okay, I didn't see what I thought I saw. So when they show like them coming across the Indians, and it was like a white guy playing one of the Indians, a blonde hair, blue eyed guy playing an Indian, I was like, what? What is, like, I thought it was an accident, but they kept showing them. And then later on, I got the joke. It's like, yeah, back in the day, they would have, you know, white people play Indians and stuff. Yes. So, you know, anything but an Indian person. Right. So I thought, okay, that's funny that it played with that and that it kind of brought attention to it. So even when you think it's getting serious, they're still putting some commentary on Westerns or culture or how movies were done back then. So it was pulling from everything. And it was just so funny to see. And they kept showing that white Indian. And I thought it was just so crazy.
What about the daughter? There was a dude married to the reverend. I was like, whoa.
Same thing with men playing the parts of women and stuff. Like I said, it was just
like in Shakespeare plays.
So it kind of touched on all that kind of stuff, and it was just like crazy. And also, I thought it was funny how at the end they had this character that was like David Carradine from Kung Fu that joined into the fight.
He's Chinese, a Chinese looking.
right, and he's all.
It was stupid for that.
Right, and it was like a commentary on Kung Fu. And it's like
cultural appropriation.
Right. And it's a Western. He's all slow kicking and stuff because he don't really know martial arts. And that's how that character was in a fight. And so it just pulled everything. And I was just like, it was just witty. It was smart. It was fun. It's definitely one of those ones you'll keep watching and you'll just find more stuff that'll just crack you up. And it wasn't like, I think Black Dynamite is a little bit more rapid fire, but this one had a little bit more breath in between, so you know you could take your time. Even a joke about, hey, we wanted to have this town ran over by the renegades, and how you do that? You just tell them that a black guy looked at a white woman, and they'll bring the law and burn your town down. And I'm like, oh, so messed up, so true.
There was some darkness here and there. There were dark little jabs here and there. You had to look real careful. They're like, oh, okay, that's all you just did there.
Yeah,
you're right. I forgot about that. That was messed up, but true.
He
was having this fun. I definitely want to own this. Definitely like to get this on Blu-ray whenever it gets available. Is there Black Dynamite 2?
No, there's a cartoon series that's based off of it.
Gotcha.
That ran several seasons.
Okay.
But the movie also had like a Nika Noni Rose.
I love her.
Erica Ash.
I love her too.
Chris Browning. Great.
Yeah.
They had Barry Boswick from...
He was great, wasn't he? He was
funny. From Spin City. I used to love that show.
Yeah. He's been around for a long time, too.
Yeah, Randy Couture was in it.
You know? But did you see the nice surprise at the end with Fred Williamson and maybe Jim Brown's last movie scene ever?
Exactly. That was nice. Well, Michael Jai White was saying he was inspired by old Westerns like that. Like
their films, yeah.
Take a Hard Ride. That had Jim Brown and Fred Williamson in it.
Okay.
So that's called Take a Hard Ride.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that. I need to watch that. Okay.
And then you also had like Buck and the Preacher, and that was with Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte. So those were his inspirations for this movie. So I thought that was pretty cool that he's calling back and then literally pulls him into the movie.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really... showed respect to them, and they deserve that respect to be pulled in like that.
Yeah, but it was a good cast. Nick and Nunn Rose was good. Erica Ash was great.
And it was funny.
I've seen her on Survivor's Remorse.
Okay.
I used to watch her on that with Jesse T. Usher. I've seen her other stuff too. And Nick and Nunn Rose, you know she has that series on Showtime. I don't know if they're going to renew it or not. Let the Right One In. They made it into a series. You know
she's in it? I've seen the movie. I didn't watch the show.
Well, the movie, and then it's like two movies. It's the American.
Well, the original one and then the American remake.
Yeah. Yeah, they made it into a series with Demian Bashir.
Okay.
But, you know, she's definitely been coming up and doing more, so I think she's great. And it was good to see Erica Ash. They were funny. It was cool. And it was interesting, too. And I knew when they called her name, but she had like a guy name. Before we saw her, she had like a guy's name.
Oh, Jesse Lee.
Jesse Lee, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Although I have a cousin, her name was Jesse Lee. But I knew, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, they're making us think Jesse Lee's a guy. But I know it's going to be a girl.
Yeah. But they showed a guy, though.
Yeah, her brother, right?
Yeah, they walked up.
He looked like Young Jeezy. I thought that was Young Jeezy.
He got kicked in the head by a horse, and he wasn't quite all there.
That was crazy. Like Young Jeezy to me. I was cracking up. I was like, is that Young Jeezy?
Yeah. That was crazy. Yeah. He had like some from Black Dynamite. They had Kim Whitley. It was good to see her. She was Sister Betty.
Yeah.
So it was good to see her. And Tommy Davidson. It was good to see
him. Oh, yeah. I almost didn't recognize him the way he looked.
Yeah, he had the afro. We had the afro wig and the beard. So it was good to see him.
Yeah.
And you had Gary Anthony Williams. You had him. Uncle Ruckus.
I am not black, nor do I consider myself to be black. Many people mistake me for being Negro because they don't know that I am currently living with the heartbreak of revitiligo. That's a skin condition that's the opposite of what Michael Jackson's got.
He played the mayor.
Yes, they did. He sure did.
Yeah.
Played the mayor with a silly self.
Also, Tony Baker, which was a surprise because I watch him like online on YouTube and stuff. And he does movie reviews as well. It's pretty cool to see him in a movie.
Oh, cool. But yeah, it was a great cast.
He played the sheriff. Around. Yeah. So it was fun. I really enjoyed it. Oh, can't forget Jill Scott.
Yes. That was a surprise. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, Jill Scott.
So. It's good to see her. I love her too. So yeah. She was great. That was cool. It was great. He pulled that off. And I get a feeling that maybe this film might wind up doing better when it's streaming.
Yeah, I think so. Because definitely more people know about it then. But I'm not complaining because I like having the theater to myself. That's fine. But it's unfortunate when it's like a movie that's really entertaining and cool. And I think people would see it.
I had about 10 people, I think, in mine.
Oh, right on. But yeah.
I went to Brendan too, like you. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah. I definitely recommend it, though. It was cool. It's a fun film. It's a great balance. Like, see, it walks a fine line between serious and campy. It does it really, really well. Even with the speech, like I said towards the end, we talked about whether you're black, white, Indian, Chinese, or Chinese looking.
David Carradine. Like I said, I saw that slow roundhouse kick that guy did.
Yeah. I'm like, he's stupid for that. He's stupid. I loved it, though. I was cracking up.
All inclusive.
I mean, in some ways it was very boondockish, like Boondocks, where you have to read between the lines, you know, but it was there, but it was cool. It was, I left the theater feeling very good. I enjoyed it. So I'd love to see a sequel to that. And I want to encourage him to do more stuff like that. It was fun. And just promote it though. Just do your best however you can.
Yeah. Like I said, I saw him promote, like I said, on YouTube and stuff, but it was like interviews and stuff. But as far as like commercials and stuff,
yeah,
and on TV and stuff like that, like I said, that's a
like I said, just on Instagram thing. I mean, even if you just Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, I mean, even if you use the free stuff,
yeah,
so
but we know how that goes. I have a group of people. I can send something out and half the people see it, or half the people get notified of it. So
yeah, it can be tough.
We got to find a workaround.
Definitely.
But yeah, he is also saying that he have, I think he said he had two more movies planned. He has a horror movie he wants to do, and then also a martial arts movie.
I would love to see him with some other known martial arts people. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that sounds good to me.
And you know he's a martial artist already, so that's that's going to be nothing. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to see his take on those other genres as well.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely a fan. But if you haven't watched Family Business with him and Ernie Hudson on BET+, it's good. They call it the black version of Sopranos, Batwoman, Javicia Leslie. She came from that show, Family Business, and she left there to do Batwoman. Then she came back once it got canceled and stuff. But yeah, so. Right. But no, Michael's been doing his thing.
Yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to his next project. For those who knew about it or knew about it and then forgot about it, which can happen, it's out there. It should be streaming hopefully relatively soon. You never know with these kind of things, but I would say if you can find it in your area and you don't mind driving a little bit, it might be in your town, but even if you don't mind driving a little bit, go out and support. That's how more movies are made like this. And even though streaming and stuff is great, it's even better and shows your dedication or your want for something. And so, why shouldn't somebody's hard work and care be treated with anything less than support by people who like that kind of thing? So
I agree.
Yeah. So,
but definitely go see it. Excellent film.
All right. So that was Jay and Keith. And that was our open discussion of the movie Outlaw Johnny Black, starring Michael Jai White and a host of other folks, directed by Michael Jai White, written by Michael Jai White and Byron Menz. And it's in a theater near you. All right. Till next time. Peace.
See you somewhere out in space.